Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to have you with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. On this particular show, you're going to be amazed because we're going to be talking about coaching, but from a different aspect. As you know, we interview a lot of different coaches on these broadcasts. Coaching has become such a big profession. There really are coaches to help you in almost every aspect of your life these days. And I'm going to say it again. I've said it before, but the CEO of Google admits he has a coach and refers to him quite frequently for help and advice. And I always say if it's good enough for the CEO of Google, then it would be good enough for all of us to have a coach to help us in some aspect of our life. But I don't know if you've ever thought about being a coach or what it takes to be a coach or how you get accredited to be a coach. To be a good coach, you have to have credentials, you know? Because if you were looking for a coach to help you, you would want to know their background. And how do you know whether that coach really is any good or not? And the only way you can really tell is if they have been accredited. Although it's a fact that training and accreditation is not necessary or required to become a coach because it's not regulated by the government. But if you are thinking about being a coach or an executive coach or life coach, getting certified will not only increase your credibility in the eyes of clients, but it'll teach you the much-needed skills to have a successful, profitable, and reputable coaching career. And that's who we're going to be talking today. Our guest, we're bringing her back again. She was here last week with Jim, Christine Martin. She's a retired executive and leadership coach of innovation coaching, a former university ethics professor, and now an evaluator of coaches for the International Federation of Coaches, the ICF. It's the world's largest organization of professionally trained coaches. She evaluates people to find out if they deserve accreditation. As she points out, coaches are not therapists or advice givers that are telling you what to do. Instead, they ask powerful questions so you can dig deep within yourself, kind of shift your mindset, and then do exceedingly well in life without anyone telling you how. She has a remarkable background, by the way, in case you didn't hear the earlier broadcast. In the mid-90s, when coaching was really just evolving, Christine was a university ethics professor and a business consultant helping people set up successful companies. And by chance, she attended a coaching conference and was offered a position with the IFC, which she graciously accepted. She was awestruck by just how powerful coaching was, and she became a member of the board of directors and then opened up her own private innovation coaching practice and traveled all over the world developing her skills while meeting so many amazing people. And over the years, she became very instrumental in setting up the ICF globally. By the way, one of her most highlights of her career was 7 years she spent coaching leadership development at NASA, which she said is one of the greatest honors of her life. I can certainly understand that. So let's bring Christine back on again. She's in their home in Pasadena today. We've interrupted her watching the Dodger ball game. By the way, when you stopped, were they ahead or were they, what was the score? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 2-0 Dodgers.
2-0 Dodgers ahead.
over the Rockies.
Yeah. By the way, it's morning time in Pasadena where she is, and she's watching a tape replay of the game. And she did not find out the score of the game last night. I find that really hard to believe. You kind of have not been able to – you can't listen to the radio or turn TV on without finding out what the game score was. Am I right on that?
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, you're not, they're not done. They're going. They changed pitchers about 2 minutes ago.
No, what I mean is by watching a tape replay this morning, you haven't been able to listen to the radio today because you would have heard the score and you'd already know who won.
That's right. I wait for this to come on in the morning. I am faithful. I'm a faithful fan.
Give me a favor. Talk a little closer into the phone. I don't want to miss a thing you say because what you do is really very important. I know a lot of people did not hear your broadcast before, so let's talk a little bit about what a coaching evaluator does. I've explained you were a coach. Obviously, you've been a lot. By the way, what did you do for NASA? That sounded like a very fascinating job, a leadership development coach at NASA.
We were a NASA person, brought on seven of us coaches with a contract. She had a government contract for that. And we were, with the evaluation process in NASA, we were assigned to those wonderful, fantastic, brilliant graduates of the finest universities in the world coming into NASA who had no idea how to lead a group, how to get a project done. So we were working with them on how to become a leader in coaching. So I worked with all of these young guys and went to a launch, a successful launch of one of my client groups. It was absolutely over the top, one of the most wonderful things that ever happened in my life. And you know, that's what we did. We were really focused on developing the leadership that NASA required for the present and future.
And where did you do that? Where were you based? Were you at Cape Canaveral?
I was right here in my home. In Pasadena. Then I moved across country for a while. Then I moved to Canada for a while. Still was working. But when I went to the launch, it was at the Kennedy Space Center. I flew down there with my VIP pass and was an absolutely sneaky crawling around through everything there was to see there. Loved it, had a fabulous time, saw a successful launch, cried all the way through the launch, and worked with my clients afterwards, and they were thrilled out of their minds. So, yeah, what can I say? That's what
it's
like there.
I know exactly what you mean. It is very impressive to observe. No question about that. All
right,
let's talk about you as a coaching evaluator. I guess I understand exactly why you need an evaluator, because in order to be accredited as a coach, somebody has to judge you. As we pointed out, you know, whatever job you have, there's somebody above you judging you as to whether you're any good or not, deserve to keep your job. You do this for coaches. And the advantage to them is they get accreditation. That's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct. Exactly. Whatever one they're going for. There are three levels. So whatever one they've applied for and gone through the whole process of the paperwork and the training and development and all of that, then they get to the final piece, which is the evaluator.
You say the three different levels of coaching. What are they?
They are the level one, is the earliest, is associate certified coach. It requires us 100 hours of coach work. Then there's the PCC, professional certified coach. That process is mostly handled by universities who teach coaching. But that's the next level, and there's a certain number of requirements there. And then master certified coach, which is third level, which is the one you want to get to, hopefully someday. I did mostly those, and that is 2,500 hours of coaching and a whole lot of coach training. And that's the three levels, and it takes quite a while to get there.
So to do that, obviously individuals who become a coach or want to become a coach, do they contact you? Do they contact the Federation for an evaluator to help them out? Explain all that and how someone also get into how someone really becomes a coach. You know all the answers in this field. Let's explore that, okay?
Okay. Well, I tripped and fell into it, actually, being invited to a little conference back in 98. So that's a while ago. And it was something I wanted to do. I had been years being a referee for competitive swimming. I'd been around coaches, you know, athletic coaches for a long time. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I was a business consultant. And I thought, wow, this is my clients need, you know, that I'm working with, is someone who can coach them. And I picked up and joined and went through all the procedures and as it developed. And since I was also teaching at university, I was used to evaluation. And I was certainly interested in helping to develop how one evaluates coaching proficiency so that the organization can increasingly become more respected out in the community, especially of business. So, and then there are life coaches. I'm not a life coach. So that's another aspect, and that's where people individually develop or groups develop different ways of working in with their own selves. So, but it's still not psychology. And that appealed to me, and I think it added a lot to my ability to teach and to help students get through the evaluation process. I continued to be an evaluator for all these years and have never stopped and am not stopping now. And I'm helping working with the ICF, or we all are, as the ICF is revamping its entire process. Once again, it's an organization of extremely high standards. So it's an honor to be a part of it, frankly. It fits me, and that's, you know.
Are there a lot of you evaluators, or are you one of a few?
I don't know, it's a few. There are quite a few.
I would imagine.
Yes, there are quite a few, but I certainly do a lot of exams, so I figure there's not that many doing what I do. So
well,
let's talk
about that. Explain, you talk about a lot of exams. I know you're a college professor. This sounds like a college course,
yeah.
And you have an exam. What's an exam like that someone takes when they're, you know, looking for accreditation as a coach? Give me an example.
Oh, yeah. I call it prepare. Don't just assume and come on and wing it. You know, take some preparation. What I suggest is people start recording their sessions so that both themselves as coaches and their clients become comfortable with being recorded. You ought to know all about how that works. You don't just wing it, right? So record, okay. And then the coach has to have created enough of the qualifications to apply to have the evaluation process happen, right? There's a whole number of hours of coaching, number of hours of training, et cetera. And then so to have the coach who is seriously going for it, this is for a master coach, by the way. I'll just start with the big one, that in comes a recording. So you send along a recording. You pick out the recording. If it's a language that I don't know, which is I know French and English, and we have them from the languages all over the world now, they are translated into English. So every exam comes in, except for the French ones, to me, translated into English. And then I listen, I receive it, I listen, I evaluate, I use evaluation schedule, rating schedule that I never fail to use every time. I never assume anything about this process. Everyone's different, but there's certain absolutely standard ways of dealing with clients, and that's what we want to know. That's what we want to see and hear. So it's a process. Be serious about it. Do not take anything for granted. If you're really okay with it, then go for it. And I pass a lot of people. So
I'm interested to know what they're listening. What are you recording? What are the clients actually recording?
The actual session.
Their session with the person they're coaching?
The coach. Yes. It's your client calls, and you're the coach, and you record that session.
Well, you see, it's interesting because a lot of people don't understand what it takes to become a coach. So this is a prospective coach who's coaching, who's like teaching a class is really what it is. Is that right? Something like that?
Yeah. But,
okay.
But they've had a lot of training. If you've been a master, going for a master coach or any of the three levels, you've had training.
Right.
There's less training for level one, and those are the ones that have a really hard time probably with this process. But you're trained. You're expected to know how to coach. So you work with different clients. I always say record often with many different clients. Listen to your own recording. Is that a recording you want to send in as the example for your coach credential? Don't just take one recording and say, oh, yeah, whoop, whoop, whoop. No, no, no. This is serious business. It means business for you. Because coaching is a fine business. Uh-huh. Does that help a little bit, Doug?
Well, you're kind of helping me understand. As I explained to you, I'm not sure what it takes to become a coach. So you take a class. You go to a coach's class. And that's really the way it begins.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is, The coach who teaches that class records their session with the client. Now I'm getting the pay. It's like you're going to coaching school. Same thing, right?
You're going to coaching school, but yes, but once you're out of coaching school or during while, you're the one, me, I want to be a coach. I want to be an accredited coach from the ICF.
Right.
I'm the one that sets up the recording, and I have clients because I'm making a living being a coach, right? So I have clients, and I ask them, would you mind being recorded? So I'm getting my credential, and people say, sure, no problem. And you listen to the recordings, do more than one, oh, my goodness, of course, and send in, with your application, the very best one that you have, you're most proud of. So that's how it's done, and it's sent then to a person like me. It's sent over to me after the paperwork is all approved and everything, and then I get the recording, and I have a special way of recording the results and sending them in.
Okay, so this is like you're having the opportunity to go in and sit down and observe a class that a coach is teaching.
Yes.
Except you're listening to the class in this instance, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's
exactly.
This is a coach and it's on one client. Yeah, it's a single client.
Gotcha.
It's a single client. You got it.
We're drawing the picture for everybody. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Understand now. Now, explain to me what you're looking for. What are you listening for to help you make this evaluation? Because obviously, there are good coaches and some that are not so great. What do you want to look out for?
First of all, I'll know what level they're going for. I don't expect master coaching for someone on level one, do I? No, of course not. I have in front of me at all times, unfailingly, the ICF core competencies rating levels. And in that are all three rating levels under the 11 core competencies on how they should be expressed and used. And I never fail to have it in front of me so that I'm listening to the conversation and I mark, and I also print it out so it's in front of me, and I mark it up. And notice the good questions. I notice whatever's going on. I make notes all over the place. That's typically me. And then I give scores at the end. And everything, there are 11 core competencies. So I score all of them on a scale of 0 to 10.
Okay, let me ask you another question. What are some of those core competencies that you're evaluating, that you're really looking out for?
Well, there you go. Okay, I'm going to sit here right in front of me. Okay, number one is establishing the coaching agreement. It's not the coach telling the client what they're talking about. The client says, what I need to talk about today, coach, is blah, 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 and the whatever, okay? And then that's established. And the coach will say, and what outcome would you like from our call today? Right? That's how a good coach works. And then establishing trust and intimacy with the client. So it's a demonstration that you care, that you're interested, and that you want to work with the client, and that you're going to be supportive of what they're talking about. And that's one of the competencies. The fourth competency, well, I gave you two. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, third.
Coaching
go to
presence.
Three.
Third,
okay.
Third one. It has a number four. It is the number four, but it's it's only three. The third one is to be fully present in the conversation. It's not about the coach telling what to do. It's not about the coach saying, oh, you know, I was thinking about what you just said. No, no, no. It's all about the client and what they're working on. So it's ability to be fully conscious and spontaneous in the relationship, not as if you've known them forever. Right? This is
right.
a new
right.
conversation. That's very important. Then active listening. Well, that's a biggie, of course. Ability to be completely focused on what the client is saying and not saying, and to understand what they're trying to get to you and as an issue. And that is the beginning of the two main competencies in the middle. First one called powerful questioning. This is the real structural demand and skill of a fine coach is asking fabulous questions. The questions aren't questions with answers in them. The questions are such things as, what are you thinking about? Have you given some thought to how you would like to have that happen? There is no input from the coach on powerful questioning. It's all about the coach is asking the questions. It's quite a skill to practice, to learn how to ask a question without being a part of the question. So that's what powerful questioning is. And it's different on the different levels. So these questions are to reveal the information needed for maximum benefit to the coaching relationship and the client. The questions are clear, direct, and lead to new insight. They are not contributions of knowledge from the coach. It makes the client work hard, let me tell you. Sometimes they don't want to, coach, can't you just tell me what to do? No, can't do that. And then the other half of that is direct communication. Being, you know, clear. Being clear.
Sure. Obviously.
I mean, there you are. And the language works for the client. And I know the language in all these different exams that I do that are from all over the world. They're using the language and the protocol of how people talk to each other in these different languages. And that's fine with me. I can pick that out. And it's so inspiring. Even with the first level coaches, when they ask one of those really great questions, then they've got it.
What is the big difference between a first level, you know, some of the questions in the first level coaching, and some of the questions you would ask for, you know, the top level? What would you be looking for
yeah.
in the difference? How about that?
The difference shows up most often, and at the first level, the questions are fairly long. They might be multiple, you know, two subjects in one question, you know, multiple subject
right.
question kind of thing.
Right.
And maybe the coach even has a little opinion and somewhere stuck in there, maybe not too much. And it's fairly, you know, complex, let's put it that way. A master coach simply asked a simple question, one subject, no complexity, very direct, and completely connected to the original coaching agreement. A high
okay.
skill. It's a very high skill to do that. So a wonderful high, a question that you can ask a client, what do you want to do about that?
Okay.
Well, that'll put someone back on their heels.
Yeah, no, it could. Obviously, it could.
Well, they're calling their coach, help me with this. Oh, okay, well, I'll let you help yourself. So let's ask all the right questions here, okay? So that's how that works out, and it's a really fabulous relationship to have with someone. Because guess what happens after the session? They know what to do, and they created it. It's not like I was a consultant, you know. I know what I was.
Is this progress? Is this a one-time thing that somebody goes? For example, if they know they're going to be evaluated, they submit material to you. These tapes that they made. And then you listen to them, I guess, at your leisure. It's not like they're going in for a session and they know whether they passed or failed after the session. It goes over a period of time. You then evaluate it and then let them know whether they passed or not. I guess that's
I'm a rapid producer of results. I sit down right away pretty much, print it out, and away we go. And I'll do that
a
couple times a day.
Mm-hmm. If someone fails, if you failed them and flunked them, can they take the test again? They can.
Sure. And I always include reasons why. There's a space for strengths and weaknesses, okay? And if the person fails, then I'm very clear why.
So, who makes the best coaches? How would you answer that?
Oh, my gosh, what a question. Oh, my goodness. I want to jump in and say women, though. I was one of those girls that didn't get into college because I was a girl. Let's not go back there.
Okay.
Who makes the best coaches? People who simply are willing to kind of give up being know-it-alls. If you can give up being a know-it-all, I know it, I've done it before, I can tell them what to do. If you can give that up and simply put it into the ask the client, what would you do about that?
Yeah.
Or how would you do about that? Then you know that you got some coaching skill. So you get past yourself, and then you get into the world of the client. You're there.
One other major question. You have said being a coach, one of the most rewarding jobs someone could ever have. Helping others improve their lives is life-changing. Explain
Absolutely.
Why. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I made a great living for a long time.
Okay, that's good.
Helpful.
That's good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hassle. Absolutely. I've been a business. I have an MBA, so I'm a business lady, right? And it's to the knowledge that someone has, for one thing, mastered the skills of working and relating to people, certainly in the business world. And how important that is for that person. So if I'm very, very compassionate about helping people. So it's part of me, you know, I have a service dog right here. She helps me not get too caught up in this. But it works for me to see people and help people get what they want, and those people help people get what they want and need. So it's a multiple layer of relationships. And they don't know who I am when they're taking the exam.
Yeah.
Nope. But I am very satisfied and happy to be a part of a profession that is, even as we speak, re-looking at itself. This is going on as we speak. And
that is great.
All
right.
This is wonderful.
Christine, we have run out of time. I want to make sure to point out the fact you have a great website. It's innovationcoaching.com. If you're interested in becoming a coach, you could get in touch with Christine. Look at her website. You'll learn all about coaching. But Christine obviously is one of those who makes it possible for you to get accreditation as a coach. And as you point out, Christine... Go ahead.
So, Doug, I just want to say that there's been a big copying thing going on with both the ICF and my website have been pirated and have been made into something else. So I'm going to have to reinvent my website somehow.
Okay.
I was appalled at what's gone on. It's gone on with lots of people. So,
really?
Anyway.
Well, then if your website is not functioning at the moment, I noticed that, by the way, but I assume maybe it was just a problem I was having. Okay.
No.
How do people get in touch with you, Christine, if they want to? What would you say?
Oh, my goodness. What would I say? Oh, my email address I use all the time. CMT for coach, the number four. CMT, the number four, coach at earthlink.net.
All right. There you go. CMT for coach at earthlink.net. Thanks, Christine. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Bye for now. We're out of time.